Okay. Welcome everybody to the very first, I'm assuming very first virtual Civic Federation meeting for April 21st. We are experimenting here, so please bear with us. This is the very first time we've done this. We've tried to think through every contingency. But obviously we couldn't think of every single thing possibly, so there may be hiccups during the meeting. I ask you to bear with us, and this is an open meeting. Anybody can join. We are doing offline voting, which will happen, via email, and I'll describe how that process works a little bit later. Just for right now, I just wanted to welcome everybody and thank you for bearing with us. And just as so everybody knows, we will be doing later on some allowing delegates to speak via the raised hand functionality inside of the Zoom app. The only people who will be able to do that are the people who actually have Zoom, either on their phone, their tablet, or their computer. If you're just dialing in on a phone, like using the phone number, you won't have that option. But hopefully that won't be too much of a hardship for anybody. There's only a couple folks on who are in that boat anyway. I will point out that having a Democratic meeting virtually is challenging, as I'm sure you're all aware. The county board is working on that as well. Okay, so bear with me one second. I'm going to turn over host duties to Tina. Tina, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I may message you asking you to let me share something, but for right now, I'm going to go ahead and keep sharing. If that doesn't work, well,
yeah,
I don't. All right, make host. You are now the host. Okay. So you should see the option to admit or people. Are you seeing that now?
No.
No?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yep.
Julia Tanner.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay, cool. And I will continue to be the person sharing, and if I need to, something happens, I'll just reach out to you. So the first thing that I want to do is I'm going to stop sharing here and share something else. Bear with me. I would like to have a moment of silence in memory of Eric Gutschall, our county board member who passed away just recently. And just for, I don't know, like 30 seconds. And then we will go into the pledge, and I will change the screen at that point.
Hold on, Nicole.
For how long?
For half hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll serve myself.
Okay. Now I invite you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm going to share again. And Tina, would you like to unmute everybody, or should we just leave everybody muted?
We can just leave it.
Okay. All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic
which it stands,
one nation, indivisible, under God, with liberty
justice for all.
I think I got that right. Okay, back to the agenda. Okay. So, in case anybody out there has not noticed, we are in a global pandemic. We are all on lockdown, and I'm sure everybody has seen a lot of specific actions in their own lives about changes due to the coronavirus.
Excuse me. I'm on call.
One of the things that we obviously here are most concerned with are Arlington County's specific activities and actions in this regard. And so we've seen a number of things happening. Obviously, the budget, which is a pretty big deal here, has had to get totally reorganized. A lot of changes have been made. The dates for the county have, the budget hearings have changed. There is the budget and tax rates hearings for the Thursday, April 21st, if you didn't see that. And then the full board meeting itself will be this coming Saturday, and then another one on the 28th. There are a number of other things that the county has going on. There's a small business emergency grant program where the county is funding small businesses up to $10,000 to help bridge salaries and rents to help them keep it from going out of business. There are a lot of neighborhood initiatives going on as well. Those have been highlighted in our newsletter. There is Arlington Connect, Arlington Community Network, other things like that as well. So, and as you know, we are doing this virtually ourselves. There is a lot of changes. The governor, of course, has announced a stay-at-home order effective until June 21st. I don't need to read all the news to you guys. I'm sure everybody's aware of what's going on. But we want, as a civic federation, our members are engaged in every aspect of county life. And we feel that we can to do whatever we can to provide assistance. So if there's something that you're aware of that we should, as a civic federation, be aware of or can get involved with, or you want us to get involved with, please reach out to a delegate or to myself, and our email addresses are all listed on the website. Okay, I'll go back to the agenda here. All right, so our first agenda item is the livability resolution. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and put that up on my screen, and then we will turn this over to,
I thought it was Bert.
I'm sorry, say that again, Dennis?
Isn't it Bert's revenue expenditure? I
thought well, we have livability up on the agenda first.
Okay, all right, good enough. All right, go for it.
And just as an FYI to everybody, I have everybody except the board members currently on mute. And so, Stacy, can you talk? Are you unmuted? Tina, can you unmute Stacy?
Let me find her.
She's there twice. One has a picture, one does not.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, I had a lot of trouble with that.
Is that, can you hear me?
Yes, there we go. Okay.
Sorry about that.
So before you start, Stacy, let me just give a little bit of an overview to everybody. So Stacy is going to read the resolution and then however she wants to handle the resolution itself. After she has done that, we will open up the floor via raised hand sharing for 10 minutes for anybody, delegate or alternate, who wishes to comment. If there's a proposed change or just anything they would like to say, and again, use the raised hand feature in the Zoom meeting, and Tina will be monitoring that, and we will allow that for about 10 minutes, and then at that point, if there are no changes based on the discussion, then Dennis will send out an email to delegates and alternates with the text and radio buttons to vote yes or no. Yes or no, and what's the other option, Dennis?
Important correction, delegates only.
Delegates only, thank you. And it's yes or no, right? There's no other options, just yes or no?
Approve or disapprove.
Approve
the motion or a resolution or disapprove it, or you can abstain.
So you will get, delegates will get the email and vote, and obviously we won't be able to do real-time analysis, so once the vote is taken at the end of the night, we will tabulate that and send out the results as well as a report. So that's how these two resolutions will go. So we'll start off with Stacy, and Stacy, the floor is yours, and when you're ready, let us know and we'll open the floor for chat, for discussion.
Yeah, I'm just gonna do a little background and then read the resolution and then make the motion, right? That's what we talked about. Yep. So that's my plan. Okay, well, thank you everybody for coming and coming to this online meeting, and really excited to be here to talk about livability resolution. I'm Stacy Meyer. I am resident of Aurora Highlands. I'm a delegate from Friends of Aurora Highlands Parks to the Civic Federation, and this year I'm serving as a board member, and we have an ad hoc livability committee, and I'm chairing that. For those who, just a little background, in December of 2019, we hosted a presentation at called Livability 22202. It was led by Eric Castle, who is our board chair, and he is also a delegate from the Crystal City Civic Association. 22202 is the home of three civic associations, Crystal City in the east, Aurora Highlands, where I live, is, and it's also the new home of Amazon HQ2, is in the middle, and Arlington Ridge to the west. In the presentation that we did in December, Matt Matozik, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, from the County Planning Office, gave an overview of the proposed development that's going on in 22202 around Amazon HQ2. And Mike Dowell from Aurora Highlands, and he was one of the leaders of Livability 22202 Action Group, presented a summary of the Livability 22202 Action Plan. Livability 22202 is a citizen-led initiative that consolidates and documents resident views regarding the dynamically increasing density that HQ2 has inspired. It is supported, among others, by the three civic associations, Aurora Highlands, Crystal City, Arlington Ridge, and is also supported by Friends of Aurora Highlands Parks, a group founded in 2015 to advocate for the balance of use of parks in our increasingly urbanized area of Aurora Highlands. Livability 22202 Action Plan, can be found on the link that was sent in the newsletter, and it's also, it's not highlighted in the resolution, but there that the words Livability 22202 Action Plan, which is in quotes, does link to, is supposed to be a link to the action plan, which we need to have attached, but it is available online. The December presentation was pretty well received. After the presentation, Miriam Gennardi, who is a CivFed delegate from Aurora Highlands, and she's also vice president of the Aurora Highlands Civic Association, made a motion for the Civic Federation to call on the county board to support and recognize the Livability 22202 Action Plan. The motion was reviewed by the CivFed committees this winter. We got a couple of friendly suggestions made to provide additional background information so that the resolution could stand on its own presented to the county board. So just a few whereas that, and a little bit more specifics on some of the references. The suggestions were reviewed by the supporters of Livability 22202, and the result was published in this month's newsletter, and it's on the screen. So with that, I'll just read it, or do we do that? We just read it, and then for everyone as a formality, and then I guess we'll make the motion to approve or disapprove of it. So livability resolution, as it stands now, whereas the Arlington County government has made a decision to increase residential and commercial density, whereas there is not a guiding document that addresses the impacts of increased density, and that integrates existing county plans and documents, whereas the scale of the proposed development's impacts exceeds the scope of customary planning reviews, whereas there is not a process that incorporates input from the direct and indirect communities impacted by the increased density scale being proposed, whereas Arlington County government has committed to increased engagement by the residents, whereas the livability framework, livability 22202 action plan, and that is what was the link in the online. It's an actual document. Is being developed by three neighborhoods adjacent to Amazon's proposed headquarters to Borough Highland Civic Association, Crystal City, and Arlington Ridge, may have some applicability and usefulness in other areas of the county. Whereas all areas of Arlington County depend on the revenue generated from the development in the 22202 area, now therefore be it resolved that the Arlington County Civic Federation, one, supports the development of the livability framework as a tool for reviewing impacts holistically, including both the proposed building site and its neighboring communities, and two, calls on the county to acknowledge that the creation of the livability framework and recognize the viability of the livability framework for tackling development challenges with holistic strategies based on shared livability themes to maintain and create better, more livable areas. So this is just asking for, as I said, recognition and support of this document. And so with that, I guess I would like to make a motion that the Civic Federation approve adoption of this resolution.
Okay, thank you, Stacy. So I'm going to, we'll allow 10 minutes starting in 1 second here for anybody who'd like to comment. And
we got a second. Not required that word. Okay. So
anybody who'd like to make a comment, please use the raise hand function and Tina will in order unmute you so you can make any comments, and I'm going to start the 10 minutes right now, after which we'll cut off commentary. Okay, anybody have any comments?
Mike Cantwell.
I don't see anybody's hands.
Well, it's on the chat. Mike Cantwell asked to make a comment.
And Mike Cantwell's asking to be recognized on chat.
Tina, are you there?
Yeah, I am. I'm just trying to find him.
Click on the participants list.
Got it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mike. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Okay. So, would you say that all the whereas statements are facts?
Am I answering this? We attempted to make these whereases as objective as possible, just attempting to provide the background information. So yeah, that was the intent, yes. Do you feel that there's something that is not a fact?
So I think there are processes to, there are planning processes, there are processes to get input direct and indirectly from communities. There's all kinds of processes when there are development activities going on. So I would say I'm not in agreement that those are all 100% factual statements. I don't know if this is really that necessary. I think there are a lot of processes that go on. I don't think they're always efficient or effective, but I do think that there are processes. And then obviously in this current crisis, I don't know if this is something that I would put at the top of the agenda for proposing to the county board.
Alan, should I respond to that?
I think at this point we need to move to the next question. We have limited time.
Because there's, I mean, I feel like I could have some positive.
Go ahead. We have a few minutes. Go ahead.
So, Mike, I think that at least from our perspective, when we wrote the words at the scale being proposed, because I definitely agree that there are processes, but the idea behind the livability document is it's there's nothing that's at the scale being proposed. And so when you look at this framework, we're really talking a
I think we lost her. She's muted. Tina, can you unmute her?
Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh. Sorry, guys.
All right, we can hear you now, I think. No?
No. That was Tina.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was very tricky for me to get that to work.
Because these things move.
All right, Stacey, I think you're on now.
There you go. Yep.
Sorry, Stacey. We lost. I muted you by accident.
Okay. Yeah. So can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, we heard most of it.
Okay. Yeah. So,
we've got about a minute left before we want to go to the next comment.
Yeah. So anyway, the idea is that the key words in that sentence are at the scale being proposed, and I agree with you also about the crisis. This being less important, but this is one of the things that we feel is really important is continuity of the Civic Federation's mission, and this is something that we had started last December. Be good to keep going and not lose it, you know, because of this crisis. Be nice to be able to keep things going as normal as possible. So that's just my response.
Okay.
Michael Beer has his hand raised. I'm unmuting you, Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, nice to see everybody tonight. And thank you for all the work that these three associations have done to put forward a very wonderful document. I rise in support of it. I just want to say from the schools committee standpoint, it almost omits in a way, any reference to schools or children in the document. I mean, you can find a daycare here, you can find an appendix, a mention of a school, and I just don't know if we got quite the right mix of the needs of children as well. But I rise in support of this, I think this is very worthwhile putting in front of the board.
I'd like to just quickly respond. This is an evolving document. So Michael, if you have feedback, we'll definitely take it back. It has a version that was presented on the website, but the intention is that this would be something that would take feedback as well as we move forward in the process.
Richard has a chat question, so if you can unmute him.
Richard, is his hand raised?
I do not know.
Is he calling from a phone?
I see him. He's near the end. I see him near the end, near Lisa McBoy, as far as there's a
okay,
Richard.
Here you go. Richard, I just unmuted you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. It's unclear to me whether the resolution is meant to apply the livability framework to any development anywhere in the county, or you're asking us to support the application of the livability framework just to the three areas within the zip code?
I can answer that. We had intended, it had started as obviously livability 22202 because that's where the initial movement came from, the initial organization. But what we had noticed here and the reason why the resolution was worded that way is because we think that some of the things that were happening sort of intensely in 22202 are actually happening in other areas of the county, certainly in Roslyn, a lot of development and obviously other areas of the county. So some of the things that are being discussed is sort of bringing us, the action is to bring us back to to getting some really decent, you know, planning, overall planning that addresses sort of the bigger issues of a bigger scale of increased density. So yes, 22202 as this document, but we think that some of these ideas can be useful for other areas across the county.
Anybody else? Oh, here we go. Julia Tanner. Go ahead. I unmuted you.
Okay. Oh, good Lord. Hang on just a minute. Okay. Let me move my phone far away. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, that's a little weird because I was trying to listen on my phone instead of on the computer. The audio is better. But just a quick question. So, actually it's a two-part question. So, first of all, Stacy, am I understanding you to say that you are hoping that this document would apply to all neighborhoods in the county, or if you could be specific about that, that would be great. But then secondly, has there been any discussion with the commercial communities in your area, or has it only been within these three civic associations?
So I'll answer that. I think Eric can probably bring in some as well to that question. If you look at on the resolution number two, we worded it pretty carefully, and definitely a lot of people had input into developing the wording of this. This livability framework is a particular document. It's the livability 22202 action plan. It's specific, but we're calling on the county to acknowledge that it has viability for tackling development challenges with holistic strategies. So while we're not proposing that this somehow become a mandate for the county or for anybody, but what we're proposing is that we really need to, in number one, look at a holistic, sort of a bigger scale planning for a community area, which we don't really feel like we have right now in 22202. And that concept, that idea, we think is useful, could be useful for other areas of the county.
And I can maybe comment on the other people. This was worked heavily by the local communities, but we have a strong relationship with, for example, J.G. Smith and others, and they were actually very pleased to get this document. They really liked it. Amazon really liked it. We had numerous comments from them after we kind of got our act together. So in that sense, this is not meant to be in confrontation to them, but in cooperation with them. And they took it that way.
Very collaborative.
Okay, so we're getting close to running out of time. Is there anybody else that we
could? I got three more hands on my screen.
Okay, yep.
Who else? Miles?
Okay. Go ahead, Scott. We'll go for a couple more minutes. Please take 30 seconds for your question.
I'll try to be quick. I got to say, I just want to add that the whole livability mission has been a really terrifically encouraging experience as one of the three civic associations that's been involved in this. I think the resolution gets to the end point. I want to make a couple points. I think one of the most significant discoveries that we've made during this process is that we were able to work together as residents from three different civic associations collaboratively without kind of the county involvement, the developer involvement at the beginning. So we were able to start off on a very level playing field without wondering about ulterior motives. And that has continued and grown as we open it up to more stakeholders. The other piece of this that, you know, is kind of hidden in the background is that we got a lot of great assistance from LAB, who served as independent facilitators, and without their unbiased assistance, it would have been a much harder time. So So as far as processes, this really has been like any other engagement we've ever experienced in terms of looking at the broad width of factors confronting us in a truly unbiased way. So like I said, the resolution kind of looks at more of the end result, but I think it's really worthy of our support.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, I'm gonna unmute Dennis. Try to unmute Dennis. This unmute function has really been sticky today. I'm trying, Dennis. Give me a second here. Okay, Dennis, go ahead. Nope, still not muted. Unmute. Unmute.
He has to unmute himself.
Dennis, go ahead. Dennis, try and unmute yourself now.
Ah, great, super. All right, good. All right. I passed the baton to Miss Brinker. She's still there.
Do you have a comment? Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. All right, thank you. And it's Nancy Springer. You can unmute yourself. Oh, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay, I had a little bit of bad audio when you were talking about this, so I just want to clarify. Did you say that people such as JBG Smith, Amazon, some of the other commercial neighbors were part of the planning process, or were they briefed on the results of the planning process? Could you clarify?
They were not a part of the process, okay, but they were part of the result, and they were we collaborated with them after we essentially got done. And, you know, obviously we talked to them very closely, but we did this all on our own, and then we talked to them. So this result was sent to them, and then they in general had a very positive response to our results.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay, and Dennis has raised his hand again, so I'm going to unmute
him. Still not unmuted, sir.
Try it now. How about now?
All right, let's see what happens.
Okay, now you muted yourself. If you'd like to comment, Dennis, you can unmute yourself or we can move on. There you go. You're unmuted.
Super. All right. I won't touch it again.
So what did you have to say?
Are you ready for the vote? Second, ready to vote?
I believe we are, because we've run out of time for comments and questions, Stacy.
Okay.
It's all good, right? I mean, we're not making any changes.
I don't think so. No.
Need a second now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. We do need a second.
Okay. I'll do you a favor in a second.
Okay. So now, Dennis, you can send the email out. And all the delegates will be receiving an email with approve or... What's the wording, Dennis? I'm sorry.
You get to either you approve the resolution, you oppose the resolution, or you abstain from voting on the resolution.
Okay, so you'll have three options, and then we will get the results of that. Excuse me. Voting will be cut off at 9 p.m. tonight. The results will be posted to us, and we'll email them out after that. Okay. That was not dreadful. And thank you, everybody, for bearing with us while we try this new process out. And congratulations, by the way, to the Livability Committee. It is, you know, really an excellent example of community engagement and really, really, from my perspective at least, really good work. All right. So I'm going to bring up my agenda here. Bear with me for a second. And share. Where's the share button? Share screen. Too many windows open. Okay. So Bert, are you with us?
Can Bert. You unmute me?
Yes, you are unmuted. Okay. Very good. So I'm going to bring up the next resolution, your resolution, and we'll follow the same procedure. You can read it, and then I will open it up for about 10 minutes of discussion, at which point we will, you can then call for a vote. Okay.
Very good.
One second. Let me find the share button here. Share screen and well, Where is it? Sorry. I know I have the screen open somewhere. Sorry about that. Okay, there it is. There it is. Okay. Too many windows open. Okay, Bert, floor is yours.
Very good. Thank you very much. And welcome everyone to our experiment in virtual democracy. As everyone knows, or everyone might know by at this point, I'm Bert Bostwick. I'm a delegate from the Old Glebe Civic Association. I've been associated with the Revenues and Expenditures Committee for the past 15 years or so. And this year, we attempted, prior to all the changes in the budget, to focus on two particular areas that we thought would be of interest to the membership of the Civic Federation. The first resolution we've tabled because it does not involve something that we're immediately concerned with. It involved reserves, so we've tabled that for the time being. But the other one is a resolution on the county auditor. And just a little background on this, I just want to focus on one word I think that's particularly relevant these days, and that's oversight. As many of you know, the Revenues and Expenditures Committee reviews the Arlington County budget every year and attempts to give the membership our best judgment on things that we think that the membership should be concerned about, whether it's a tax rate or whether it's assessments or whether it's any other things that the county budget may be involved with. This year has been an interesting year because the county manager submitted a budget, and then the COVID-19 came along and he has submitted an alternate budget. And I have to say that we have reviewed Mark Schwartz's alternate budget, and I think that he and the team at the Department of Management and Finance have done a very good job in looking at the changes they need to make to the budget. That being said, we need to focus again on what I would say is oversight. There is relatively little oversight that occurs every year for the Arlington County budget. The only two entities that look at the budget at all are the Revenues and Expenditures Committee of the Civic Federation and a Financial Affairs Advisory Committee, which is a committee that's appointed by the county to look at the Arlington County budget. So the other thing that we've done is we've taken a look at the county auditor, and I have to give a lot of credit to Suzanne Sundberg, who's been following this particular issue since 2013. And the resolution on the county auditor was originally proposed by the Revenues and Expenditures Committee in 2013, which basically said, you know, we need an independent observation on the county operations, county budget, because it's gotten over to $1 billion a year, and there's really no independent oversight of the budget at all. So beginning in that year, we began to recommend to the county that they establish position of a county auditor. This was later picked up on by Patrick Pope and run through the committees down in Richmond. And I think a resolution was submitted and approved by the Richmond to allow the county to appoint a independent county auditor, and major props to Patrick for doing that. And it was following that, it was picked up on by John Weistat, who introduced it to the county board, and eventually the county board picked up on the recommendation in 2016 and appointed a county auditor. I won't go into all the wherefores and wherevers that happened subsequent to that, but needless to say, they finally appointed a county auditor. But it was just one person with a very, very limited budget. Recently, we looked at the function of the county auditor and what he's been able to accomplish and what he hasn't been able to accomplish. And we found that one person reviewing a billion-dollar budget with no staff and no support other than, you know, an occasional contractor that is permitted really is not adequate for a county of our size and our complexity and $1 billion. So basically what we have asked the membership to look at here is a resolution which asks the county to basically fund and support this county auditor in the way it should be done. And without going to all the whereases, because it's a very lengthy whereas, let me just quote one. And that is the county board's charge for its independent auditor, as amended in June and 2017, states, funding, sufficient funds shall be proposed by the county manager after consultation with the audit committee for consideration by the county board to carry out the county auditor's annual audit work plan. Going from that to our resolution, basically which states, therefore, be it resolved, the Arlington County Civic Federation asks the county board and the county manager to identify additional funding and or staffing resources, for example, adding a forensic accountant or compliance officer to support the county board auditor's ability to complete audits and follow-up reviews within the established audit work plan's timeframe and to increase the overall audit capacity in order to deliver timely, independent analysis to the county board and assure county board taxpayers that are Arlington County taxpayers that revenues and fees are being used in the most effective and efficient way possible. Now, obviously this is a very different year for the county and the county manager and the county budget, but it suggests that it's even more necessary that we fund and support the county auditor, which is an independent function, to look at this and to make sure that this very generous county, which we support, you know, with all our taxes, is doing the right thing, putting the right money in the right places. And we're just asking for a little bit more support for the county auditor to do that. And I'll shut up and take questions at this point.
Okay, thanks, Bert. And the meeting is open. We'll keep it open for about 10 minutes here for raised hand sharing. If anybody would like to make a comment, raise your hand in the raised hand window as we did before. And we'll do this for about 10 minutes. And each person will, I'll give them 30 seconds. Okay. Duke Banks.
Yes, Alan, and I obviously support this with Bert, but for to be able to see the actual resolution that Bert mentioned, I think you don't have it quite up on the shared screen. I think you need to, the last sentence, it says, follow this link to read the full auditor's resolution.
Yeah, that it's like many pages long.
Well, that's your call, but you know, but Bert gave a very good, you know, summary of the resolution, which I support.
It has been published in the newsletter as well.
Exactly. Okay, thank you, Duke. Michael Beard?
I support the resolution. My only concern at the moment is the catastrophe in terms of the current environment. In terms of our budget, we're facing a tremendous crash that we really haven't fully grokked or felt yet and could really be the worst depression of our lifetimes. I'm wondering, with a freeze on basically everything, whether a request, it's just a timing issue. But I support this work, and thank you to the Revenues and Expenditure Committee.
Thank you, Michael. And then I have one more participant. Kit, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. I just want to say this is the original Pennywise Pound Foolish resolution. And yes, despite these unprecedented times, we really need this kind of oversight. And I really give great kudos to those who are pushing for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kit. Okay, anybody else? Eric, go ahead.
I'd just like to ask a quick question. My understanding is there's only one auditor and there's no staff?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. That's certainly not enough for a $1 billion budget. Okay, thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Going once, going twice. Okay, so Bert, would you care to call for a vote?
Yes, I'd like to move for a vote for the full membership in support of this resolution.
Do I have a second? See, Michael Beer is holding up two fingers, so we'll use that as a second. Thank you for your strategic choice in fingers, Michael. Okay, so Dennis will be sending out this resolution as well in a separate email to the delegates, and the same options will apply. There will be three, the text of the resolution, and three options, approve, reject, or abstain, will be going out to every delegate. That will be open until about 9 o'clock tonight, so vote as soon as you get the email, at which point the result will be compiled and we will report back out to the delegates, okay? All right, thank you everyone for that. That worked out reasonably well. I'm gonna go back to my agenda here. I can find my screen sharing button again. Agenda, okay, there we go. All right, so we have a little bit of time on our agenda, about 30 minutes or so. If there's anybody out there in the community that would like to talk about things that they're doing, their association is doing to help others, or volunteer opportunities or any opportunities whatsoever, we just put this on the agenda for members to just, you know, speak. We'll give everybody 30 seconds who wants to raise their hands. And I will, anybody would like to just, you know, speak for 30 seconds here, raise your hands, and then I will unmute you, and then you can speak. The first person up is Mike Cantwell. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I was on the, I'm not sure the name of the meeting on last Friday, but where we talked about it was a combined county board and there was school staff there also. I'm very concerned and don't really agree with the county, the APS is only providing free lunches at 7 schools. And I'd like, I really think that they should provide lunches at all schools. And I think that I assume, I'm not 100% sure that there is idle staff that is getting paid, but where they could pitch in and help with this. And I think that these lunches should be within walking distance of all children that are experiencing hunger right now.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, next up is Miriam Gennari.
Okay. Sorry about that. I was trying to send you a message. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. I definitely want to reiterate what was just said about school lunches. Right now, there are no school lunches being delivered on this side of 395. The closest is Hoffman, Boston. So if it can't be at every school, I do think that we need to figure out a reasonable distance. I do want to congratulate the schools for allowing parents to pick up. On a totally different subject, I know with the schools out of school right now and it being Earth Week, the Smithsonian had an Earth Optimism Summit that was scheduled in Washington, D.C. It cost a significant amount of money to attend. For students, it was $125. But now that entire event is digital, it's all online, and there are some really exciting and optimistic ideas, stories, innovations. And so I would like to encourage all the civic federations to put the word out that the Smithsonian is offering this unprecedented opportunity. And then a personal opportunity that is through the Smithsonian is that Arlington Independent Media has invited me to stream the movie Styrofoam Mom, which is a movie I made here in Arlington, on Saturday at 12 o'clock. So Arlington Independent Media will be hosting the screening. It is in cooperation with the work that I've done with the teens at the Smithsonian. And if anyone would like to hear more about some of the remarkable work that these young teen leaders are doing in Arlington, you know, just let me know about the best mechanism to share that.
Wonderful. Thank you, Miriam. Okay, anybody else who would like to share or bring anything up that of interest to the membership? No.
It's your affirmation. Your talking is better.
Okay, we got two more. Here we go. Give me 1 second. Let's see, Eric.
I'd just like to ask the membership to give us a comment back on this general process and how you think it's going and what we could do to improve or make it better. So I think the board would really appreciate any comments from the general, everyone who's listening about the effectiveness and just the general process. So anything you could give us back, that would be appreciated.
And any suggestions for things that we may have missed that we could do better or that we could do that we're not doing, that would be very, very helpful as well. We're all doing this, you know, based on our individual experiences, and we've had probably 4 board meetings and a number of individual one-on-ones with everybody to try and work it all out. And I'm glad to see the number of folks that are on here and that it's going reasonably well so far. So just as an FYI for everybody, both emails for each resolution have been sent. Check your spam folders. Some of them may have, for whatever reason, ended up in spam, but they've all been sent. All right, and let's see. Tina, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to repeat that to check your spam folders for the emails. You should be receiving 2 separate emails on the resolution. If you have not, please email Dennis or Alan or me and let us know. So far I have 2 people who have not received emails, Bill Walls and Kirit.
Bill Walls has received his emails, he's just not open. It's sent to him, so let's do that offline, Tina, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Let's do that. That's offline, please.
Okay, and then Mike Cantwell, did you want to say something else, or was that still your hand still up from the last time?
Yeah, if I wanted, I'm just a little unsure of the procedure here, but if I wanted to make a resolution related to the school lunches, what would be the process of that? Would I perhaps contact Michael Beer, or how would we do that?
Michael Beer is head of the schools committee. Michael, I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead. Michael Beer.
Great. It's a very provocative, interesting idea. I think the schools committee will take this up, and we would like you to join us in helping figure that if and how that might go forward to the full body, and
we'll bring
it back next month if it seems worthy.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, and I think there's one more person, just a moment. Audrey Clement, you wanted to say something?
Yes, I have not received my ballot, either one. And I've checked junk as well as email.
We'll send you one before the night's out, all right?
All right, sure.
I will tell you, Audrey, we've never been officially informed by Lilith that you are a delegate for Westover.
She's listed as on West on the spreadsheet you sent me, Dennis.
Yeah, I took the liberty to do that. But we've not been informed by Lilith. You asked her, please, to do that because neither you or Kira, she's not sent us an official notice. All right.
Yes.
I'll check on your ballot later. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else who would like to make a comment or raise a question or a concern? And I want to reiterate what Eric was saying earlier. Please provide feedback to anybody on the board or myself regarding tonight's procedure, the process, anything at all. As well as, of course, any things that you'd like the Civic Federation to take up for the future. Okay, and I see one more chat here, and then from Brian Hannigan, I think that's something that the schools committee will have to take up. I think obviously, yes, it is something that's pretty important to do quickly. And then, okay, Kirit. Go ahead, Kirit, you had a question? You wanted to say something?
Yeah, obviously a lot of landlords, there's a lot of issues with paying the rent in Arlington County, and the Tenant Landlord Commission has a fact sheet that's, I think, available on the COVID listing that the Arlington County sends out. And that fact sheet is one page, and it talks about responsibilities for tenants and responsibilities for landlords. So obviously, you know, tenants are laid off and have issues, and landlords may have similar problems. So, but the county has a sheet about responsibilities for tenants and landlords, and that you can contact the county housing department if you can't find it, but it should be on the email that they send out.
Yeah, that's a very valuable resource for sure. And as delegates, There are folks in our neighborhoods and other associations that may not know that as well. So that's something that should be passed along to people in our neighborhoods as well, for sure. Okay, so I think that is probably it for raised hands, and I will move along to our next agenda item, which is old business. So one thing we neglected to do as part of typical old business is to send out the minutes from the February meeting for approval by the membership. So what we'll do is we're going to send those out via email to the delegates and alternates, and then we'll use the same mechanism, approve or reject or abstain, and we'll send that email out for that purpose.
Excuse me, there was a link. There was a link in the April newsletter to those minutes.
There was. Okay. Well, we didn't put it on the agenda.
Meeting document. I can send it out again, but there's a link to the meeting documents in the April newsletter. So.
Okay. So that's good. But we'll send out an email anyway, just so people can actually vote on it, because we didn't actually put that on the agenda for today. All right. Thank you, Dennis. I must have missed that, even though. All right.
Okay, not a problem.
New business. All right, so we have two items for new business. And let's see. So the board has come up with and voted on new standing rules for the Civic Federation. Bert, are you still on? Bert or Dennis, which one of you would be the appropriate person to bring that, to discuss that?
I'll defer to Dennis.
Okay.
Okay, I'm simply going to read the resolution, okay? The board's already approved it, but let me bring it up here. Okay, it's a board resolution number 2019-20-1, numbering system comes from Mr. Norton. Whereas section 2.12 of the bylaws, remote participation provides, quote, to the extent that's authorized by the board, any members may participate in a meeting using conference telephone or other electronic means, for all persons participating in the meeting may simultaneously hear and communicate with each other during the meeting. Okay. The second, whereas due to the current pandemic, Arlington County Civic Federation needs a means for members to participate and vote on resolutions and other matters. Therefore, be it resolved, the Board of Directors authorizes remote participation, including email and teleconferencing, for its members with appropriate notes. It was approved by the board. This is a board resolution. It's not for members to vote on.
Okay. But those have already been voted and passed, and those were the, obviously, which are our authorization to conduct tonight's meeting as we have. Okay.
Now, let me get number two here, if I can find it down here. Okay, the second standing rule is going to be committee membership, all right? All right, so this is Board Resolution 2019-2020-2, standing committee membership. Whereas chairs of standing committees appoint members of their committees who, in accordance with Section 4.2 of the bylaws, shall be composed only of voting members, alternate members, and or other members of member organizations. Therefore, be it resolved that such members may apply to committee chairs for inclusion. If not accepted, they may appeal to the president and the board of directors. This was approved also by unanimous vote. Now, if I get number three, we're done with this. All right. Board Resolution 2019-2020 number three deals with resolutions and motions. Whereas any member in good standing may present a resolution to the presiding officer in writing at a regular membership meeting. Therefore, be it resolved that one, resolutions will normally be considered at the next available meeting, except in emergencies. Emergencies consideration of resolution requires a two-thirds vote of the membership. Two, presiding officer has the right to A, accept a proposed resolution as appropriate business for the Federation, B, refer the proposed resolution to the appropriate committees for review and report, and C, and recommendation, C, schedule or reschedule the date of consideration of the resolution by the full membership. Three, members presenting resolutions should take care to A, document and footnote resources of factual information. B, refrain from personal, partisan, or inappropriate statements. Four, it's up here. Members may amend or withdraw the resolutions prior to consideration by the full membership. Five, resolutions and accompanying reports should be posted on the ACCF website at least 7 to 10 days prior to consideration at a membership meeting, except in the event of an emergency. That's it. This again was approved by a majority vote of the board.
Great. Thank you, Dennis. And are those posted on our website yet?
They should be someplace. They should be on the website. We can check with Alan, but I believe they should be there.
Alan, has those been posted?
Henderson?
Oh, Adam. Adam Henderson.
Oh, Adam. I'm sorry. Adam Henderson. Yeah. So.
Yeah, Alan, we provided all that information to Adam earlier this week, so he should have them. Okay, great. Let's see. There was one other person, and before I turn it over, Carol Dabbs had raised her hand. I'll go ahead and unmute you, Carol. Is there something you wanted to bring up? Carol? Okay. Carol is not, she looks like she's muted. Carol, if you'd like to comment, Carol, you can unmute yourself. There okay, go ahead.
Yep. My question had to do with voting on the February minutes.
Yep.
Is that, does that need to be done by 9 o'clock tonight?
No, no, there's no rush on that one, but.
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see, Michael Beer, you had another comment?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the board for doing your work. I don't see any of these resolutions you passed on the website. It could be there. I just, seems like some of them were urgent and you needed to do it without consultation of membership. I just wish that in the future, when you do some of these, you actually can try to, that aren't time sensitive, you try to consult the membership first before voting on some of these resolutions. And then finally, when it comes to the school resolution, you know, some folks are asking in the chat window, you know, can a 1 month timeline is particularly for hungry children, is perhaps too long. And I don't know, it'd be highly unusual, but we could try to, and it would be tortured, but we could try to come some up with something here on the call with a 2/3 vote. But it would be highly out of order, and we would be, you know, trying to move forward without doing background work.
Yeah, that's a good point, Michael, and I don't know that we can handle that at this point. But I would agree, a month is definitely too long to wait. But may I suggest that the schools committee just get together offline and meet and discuss that ASAP. And certainly, as you know, I'm a member of the schools committee and be glad to work with you guys on that. Looks like we got a couple other hand raisers. Stacy, unmute yourself.
Yeah, sorry about that. There was some background noise, so I put myself on mute. Miriam had mentioned something about the screening. I was hoping that maybe we could get that posted as a part of the meeting follow-up of the information that she had presented. Is that something we can do?
I think that sounds reasonable, because one thing we're going to be doing is sending out the results of the votes, and that should happen, you know, we'll know that tonight, and so we can send those out first thing tomorrow, and we can also include a link. That's fine with me.
Okay. It'd just be part of the meeting minutes. That's where we'd normally show up.
Yeah, but the meeting, the movie's on Saturday, so I think we want to get the board out as soon as possible.
I guess, if Miriam, if you can send that link, that would be helpful.
Yeah, Miriam, if you could do that, send it out to myself and to Stacy and make sure everybody gets it. Okay, thank you. Eric, you had something?
Just wanted to add that if the school committee could get something together, the board could try to do something in the meantime before the next meeting. So that's another option too.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, the board is meeting the Civic Federation board is meeting this coming Sunday. So, Michael, if you guys want to get your heads together via email or whatever and send something our way, we can take action on put it on our agenda for Sunday. All right. So next up, Duke Banks. Duke, I'm going to unmute you and I'm going to share your resolution and you can just talk about it briefly.
Yes, well, you bring it. Okay. When you bring the resolution up, just maybe think, give some background as to where we're at. We and the Parks Committee, we've had 19 folks, I think it is, who have been participating, and for the last several months been working on a white paper concerning looking at bond fund allocations over the last 8 years or four bond cycles, trying to figure out where the monies have gone to. There's been a lot of work in doing this, a lot of spreadsheets and analysis that have gone into it. It has been a rather a Herculean task. We're coming to the finalization of it, but realizing and also being full transparency, as of right now, we're about finalized the white paper, and we're gonna be sharing, hopefully sharing it shortly. But to be because of the transition is mentioned by Dennis in the new standing rules about the resolution. There's a slight difference. Previously, we've effectively required a first reading on, you know, on month one to be, and then it was referred back to committee, and then for the final vote on month two. And that was the tradition. So following the tradition of what most CFED delegates have, we have put together a tentative resolution to be considered so that we could effectively vote on it come May. Under the new standing rules, we would not have had to do this until 10 days before, you know, the meeting, but we felt transparency of a lot of people are not used to that yet. We felt that we needed to stay within, you know, the old standing rules and procedures that folks are most comfortable with. What there's an ongoing debate even within the committee as to whether or not this really requires a resolution, because we're not proposing a resolution per se. It's a fact finding. It's facts. There's been various instances of where in the past Civic Federation committees have released information. We had one about bond funds with John Tui with the Revenues and Expenditures Committee. There's one about school capacity, and there's been a couple of others, I think Revenue and Expenditure Committee, concerning even the auditor, I think going back to 2012 or thereabouts. So there is a precedent for just releasing this without a resolution. However, to be safe, we decided to introduce this resolution. And I'm not going to read it all, but it's basically a restatement of what's already in the executive summary of the report, basically saying that there's been $126 million in bonds for park and recreation, and we've broken it out into various categories of how it's been spent, which is reflected in this chart. And where basically the bottom line is that recreation, the recreation side gets 86% of the funding, and parks and open space and land acquisition, you know, have got, you know, have a very lower percentage. And we also made an evaluation tied in with not only the bonds, but the Park and Recreation Needs Assessment Survey of 2016, and also the Public Spaces Master Plan of 2019. And we ended up also looking at the Stormwater Master Plan of 2016. And effectively, what we have here is that, you know, that there's a feeling that open space has been shortchanged in spite of the priority given in the bond questions, and that that while the new Public Spaces Master Plan recognizes the need for more open space by saying we need 30 acres over public space over the last 10 years, this is actually a cadeau for the Parks Committee and CFED, because that was one of the things that was mentioned in a white paper back in 2016. So the resolves thing on here are basically the recommendations from the white paper that the county needs to balance its fiscal years 2020 to 2022 CIP investments, which is going to be coming up shortly, to fund passive park features, open space, and parkland acquisitions on a more equitable basis with respect to the recreational investments, so that these investments may closely align to the public stated preference and needs. And that because of the results of the survey, which were identified in more detail in the white paper that will be coming out shortly. The point number two is the county should demonstrate more forward thinking and commitment to land acquisition for passive park use as reflected in the Public Spaces Master Plan by purchasing the 9-acre Rouse property at the corner of Wilson Boulevard and North McKinley Road, since it's identified as a generational and unique opportunity site in the strategic plan. And third, that the county should consider high priority dual purpose sites that can be used for flood mitigation and open space natural habitat, as mentioned in the Stormwater Master Plan. And ironically, in the Stormwater Master Plan, and it's also tied in with one of the whereases here, is that the in past history, there's a statement there, a lot of the park acquisition from the for the county was actually because for flood mitigation reasons. I'm also adding a second to be resolved statement that this report should be considered as a follow-up to the Civic Federation white paper, park and land acquisition referenced in this report, and also falls under the auspices of the 2016 Civic Federation resolution concerning park land acquisition that was passed by a vote of 63-1-1 in February 2016. While I'm putting this resolution out there, it will be then submitted, sent to the board of directors. And I think Sunday, as I talked to Alan earlier, we'll have a discussion of how to move forward on this, whether or not we even ought to, consider this as a resolution or have it, because of the second resolve statement, let it stand as is, and because it's, it's written as being considered under the auspices of the previous parkland acquisition resolution back in 2016. I personally I realize there's a lot of issues with considering this resolution, and I think as mentioned by others today, I've got some concerns about bringing this up as a resolution given coronavirus issues that the county is facing right now. And to be honest, parkland acquisition is probably going to be a low priority going forward. With that, if there are any questions, I'm ready, and I'm here to help or respond.
Anybody has any questions, use the raised hand feature or comments. Duke, what are the next steps for this resolution?
I think, Alan, is that we will then, I'll participate in your board meeting on Sunday, and we'll discuss, whether you delegate it back to Park and Recreation Committee saying we ought to move forward with a resolution, or if the board basically makes a decision that because it's under the auspices of the 2016 resolution that there is no need for this resolution to go forward.
Okay. All right, so that's something Eric will put on the board's agenda for this coming Sunday.
Yeah, but for the moment, and I have no problem, we can circulate this around. This is essentially the executive summary. I basically cut and pasted this resolution out of the executive summary, so it's basically 95% of what's in the executive summary.
Is it appropriate for anybody to get a copy of this now, as is the actual the document?
Let me turn off my phone here for a second. I think I'm working on trying to get the document. It still needs to be crafted. It's basically a Word and Excel in an Excel sheet, and I need to blend in the Excel into the Excel sheets into the document and keep as a as a PDF to keep it as one document. Might take a couple of days to do that, but at that point, I think we can share it.
Okay, and then make sure you send it to the board in advance of our meeting on Sunday too, so we can take a look.
Yeah, I'll do as much as I can. Alan has been, I've kept Alan in the loop on all this, and so he's been flooded with all these emails, but this has been a very transparent process. We've had up to 15 versions of this, of the paper.
Okay.
Okay, and it's been going on for almost about four months. What a lot of intensive activity in the last 2 months.
Yeah, I'd say probably at least 50 emails just in the last 2 days on this one topic.
Okay,
that's fine. As somebody on the call often says, is democracy is not a spectator sport, right, Mr. Beard?
Oh, Michael Beard.
Okay. All right. Well, it doesn't look like there's anybody who's raised their hand to comment on this.
I might add that there has been such positive response on this that it looks like we're also going to get supporting statements from the Environmental Affairs Committee and the Stormwater Committee that's under Public Services.
Okay. I do see one hand raised. It's Rod Mackler. I'm going to unmute you, Rod. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd just like to note that the Rouse property question could be a very time-sensitive one. It's a 9.5-acre piece of property, and it's already zoned R5, that is for about 68 single-family houses, and it's essentially on the market. If it's passed now, if the opportunity is passed, it won't come again for a generation, which is the meaning of the word generational opportunity. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I might add to what he mentioned is that we highlighted that because it is listed in the Public Service Master Plan as a generational opportunity, and I'd identified as such.
Okay. Looks like Kit has a comment. Kit, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Just very quickly, during this COVID crisis, we're all repairing to green space and open space and trees and blooming dogwoods and azaleas. And it's just a reminder that this kind of attention to parks and open space is really for the health and well-being of everybody, not just during COVID, but all the time. Thanks so much.
That is a wonderful reminder. Thank you, Kit. Stacy, go ahead.
So I was going to say something similar when we talked about this livability. Parks are in increasingly urban areas are a big part of that. So, it's everything is the more buildings we get, the more parks we need.
Absolutely, and it's really an excellent point. Everybody has been spending so much more time outside than they had in the past, and when this is all over, I think that's not going to, a lot of people are still going to continue to do that, and highlighting definitely even more so the need for these kinds of public spaces. And looks like there's a couple other chats out there. Okay, I guess that is it. And with that, is there any other new business? Anybody has a raised hand, wants to raise and let me know?
You clear the other, good. Back to.
Okay, so hearing none, does anybody care to move to adjourn?
So I will.
And do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All right, having been moved and properly seconded, this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you all for joining us this evening for our first of at least one virtual Civic Federation membership meeting.
Good job, Alan. Good job.
Very good.
Good job.
Congratulations.
Good job, Tina.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening, everybody. And I will now end the meeting.